Welcome to Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups. I'm Tracy Brown, the fraud-busting body language expert. I've spent the last 20 years reading people, uncovering secrets hidden in plain sight to find the truth in crimes, politics, and billion-dollar business deals. And I want you to be able to tell whose pants are on fire, make better decisions, and build your bottom line as well. Get ready. Let's dive in. It's Tracy, and I am back again with another episode of Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups with super producer Alex, who is trying to direct me silently somehow with his fingers on Zoom. It's not working.
I'm being the conductor. I'm conducting you.
That's okay. Well, other than conducting, how you doing?
I'm doing life? Fantastic. Thank you for having me on board today. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, good, good. Well, you know what today is as we're recording? It is opening day for baseball season.
For baseball season, and this involves the Houston Astros. How?
Because they're fixing to start playing, and as all the other teams are, I don't know how they're playing here in Denver, the Rockies, because it's snowing. Yes.
Right.
So we'll see about how that goes.
So welcome to spring.
Spring. This winter won't end. Anyway, you asked me earlier if I follow a lot of baseball. I kind of keep my eye on it. It's usually pretty easy around here with the Rockies. Just look at last place and you will find where the Rockies are. And so
how do you feel about the new speeding up the game movement?
Oh, with the pitch clock? I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, they got a timer on pitches now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, but you know what I like more out of baseball than just the game is the sports scandals that come out of baseball.
Like what?
There's a lot of them. Mirrors and buzzers trying to figure out what the pitches are, bugging locker rooms, and even, you know what football teams will do? They will go to a hotel and leave their playbook in a hotel conference room, like when they're on the road.
Like a red herring, yeah.
Yeah, well, but it's a fake playbook.
Right, a red herring. Sure.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
Well, so, just it's a distraction. That's all
it is. And so our guest today, my guest, Ross Bernstein, he's a friend of mine. He's a sports writer. He's a speaker like me. And he has his ear to the ground on all kinds of cheating scandals in all kinds of sports. I did not know, and I legitimately did not know, that the mob and online gambling may affect the outcome of your favorite team's season.
So how does this guy, Ross Bernstein, how is he so involved in all these secrets that the sports stars don't want you to know about?
He is just in the know. He is in the system. Everybody knows him. Tom Brady is on his cell phone. Mm-hmm. So he just, you know how you just know people? He just knows people.
Yeah, but usually there's a reason why you know people.
Maybe he's in the mob. I don't know.
Oh, that could be. Okay.
Yeah, it could be.
All right. Let's close this session out right now.
Why? Are you afraid? Are you afraid Ross is going to come after us?
Well, no, I'm more concerned about the entire mob coming after us.
Nah, they won't. Ross is good.
You're giving away all their secrets.
See, that's the thing. You know him and he'll protect you. And he's like the nicest guy. But he knows things. And so here's the thing. I think what we should do is go talk to Ross and see what's going on with cheating in sports that may, you know, throw a season for a team. Because there's big, big money involved.
Are you trying to tell me that Ross is going to be more interesting than me?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going there. Okay, well, not the first time that's happened. Let's go listen to Ross.
Let's go. It's Tracy, and I am back again with what I know is going to be one of the most fun-filled interviews I've ever done on Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups, because I have Ross Bernstein in the house, and I had to drink coffee this morning. I don't drink coffee because I knew I had to keep up with you, Ross. So you have a series of books called The Code, and you're an author, you're a keynote speaker like me, and these books, and I'm just going to kind of, you can clean me up here on this, but basically they're the unwritten rules of hockey, baseball, and football. And there are sections in each book about cheating. And that's what I'm interested in, not only from a fraud perspective, but because, you know, I'm a retired athlete myself. And
Yeah.
Eating has negatively affected my career. Cycling is just fraught. So, Ross, why don't you just tell us like 2 seconds, like a little bit about yourself, because you have a very interesting history in sports as well. So let's hear it.
The real quick, and well, first of all, it's great to see you, Tracy. I am one of your biggest fans, so I feel very honored to be on your podcast. So thank you. Yeah, so my backstory real quick, I tried out to play hockey at the University of Minnesota, lasted about 10 minutes. I got cut, wound up becoming the team mascot, Goldie the Gopher. For your viewers, you can see my gopher head is actually up there. I became a cheerleader, a giant smelly rodent that inspired my first book when I was a senior in college, called Gopher Hockey by the Hockey Gopher. And 50 books later, I made a career out of it. So that's the backstory but I've interviewed, you know, thousands of professional athletes. I've been a working member of the media. And this series of books called The Code were about the unwritten, unspoken rules in sports. And there's a, I'll just kind of, this is what they look like for your viewers. It's just kind of like, it's not about why a guy gets drilled in baseball or why there's fighting in hockey or why you get, you know, turned upside down in football. And there's codes in every sport, like you said, in cycling, whether it's illegal motors and bikes or performance enhancing drugs or sign stealing in baseball. But the fighting part about hockey, it's not from fighting. It's not about fighting. It's about what leads to it. It's if you cheat, if you disrespect someone, if you break this unwritten code of honor that the players live by, they allow the players to police themselves. Uh-huh. And that's what's fascinating about hockey specifically. So there's codes in every sport. Water polo has a code. People will grab you under the water to get you to cough up the ball. I mean, there's
they try to drown
again,
you in water. I know some water polo.
Totally.
People.
But basically, it all comes back to the same premise that there's a fine line between cheating and gamesmanship. Mm-hmm. And what's cheating and what's gamesmanship? What can you get away with? What will the refs not call? You know, if you can steal signs the right way in baseball, well, that's celebrated. You're a genius. But if you cheat, if you use an iWatch, if you do what the Houston Astros did and bang on a garbage can, use video, then you like Spygate, Deflategate. I mean, it's never ending. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's dive in, because the book I dove into the most here was the baseball book. But we're going to talk about Deflategate, because Deflategate is, we'll get there. It is prominently featured in my talk on lie detection with Tom Brady, who I know you have his phone number, yet.
He's retired now. He won't take my calls, believe me.
I don't know. You said you have his phone number, but it's not in your phone. When I asked to see the number, now I would never call it, but I'm like, okay, Ross.
I'm sure you've already gone through my phone, because I know you CIA types. You're very nefarious, you people.
We are. And didn't we pass it around at the conference? Was that your phone or someone else?
That was someone else. We were taking pictures of ourselves while they were on stage doing horrible things, but that's another story.
That is. Okay. Let's talk about baseball first, and then we'll get into some of the other sports. So sign stealing, that's the big thing. So I'm pretty curious about this, because I played softball and everything, but I don't really know the game within the game. Mm-hmm. And so like, how far ahead do we know what pitch is really going to be pitched? And let's frame me up like from a beginner standpoint, and then we'll move on.
Well, so in baseball, for the people that aren't big baseball fans, I mean, basically there's, you know, the pitcher and the catcher.
Yeah.
They have a series of signs that the catcher will display as a series of hand signals. Sure. Under his crotch, basically. Uh-huh. When he's squatted down, to show the pitcher. And he may look over at the coach, and the coach may say, I want a fastball. Uh-huh. And basically it's for, they're playing the odds, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about trends and tendencies. Mm-hmm. So they know that if it's a right-handed pitcher, and if they pitch him low to the outside, statistically, probability is the ball is going to go to this side of the infield, and they can have a switch. They'll pull the players over to compensate to cover the odds. So that's there's a lot of psychology. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they'll throw a circle changeup or a curveball to get a guy thinking it's going to be this, and then they'll come back with a fastball. But it's basically there's a game within a game, and they got a lot of language, because they got a lot of Latino players.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's language issues. So they use signs, and mm-hmm. there's rules. If you get caught peeking at the signs, if you're a batter and you peek back, you're going to get drilled.
So they'll just hit you. And I mean, that's not a joke, getting hit by a fastball.
Yeah. Well, and it's, there's a whole thing about it now. Like a pitcher, if he does it on purpose, he can get tossed, and they want to make sure they go through 4 or 5 innings to make sure they get credited for the game because they've got elevator clauses in their contract. So there's a lot of things now, but sign stealing is as old as baseball. It's come back, you know, 150 years it's been around. But basically, if you got a runner on second base and they can see the catcher, then he'll then that's fair game. So then you've got to be sneaky in how you change your signs every inning, because all of a sudden, if your base runner is in second base and he's looking at the catcher and he sees that it's going to be a curveball, he might say like, "Okay, Tracy," or "Okay, Brownie," meaning first name or last name. First name is a fastball. Second would be an off speed pitch.
Oh, basically, really?
Yeah, or maybe they'll whistle, maybe they'll clap, maybe they'll do something interesting, wave their hand, do something, stretch. Yeah. But it's all preconceived. And every inning, they'll change these so that they know, and that maybe it's disinformation. Maybe they want you to think that this is what's coming, because then there's disinformation like, oh, they think that this is coming. So it's really a game within a game, but it changes constantly. And it's psychotic to try and think about it. But there are some real famous, celebrated sign stealers, guys who really study poker tells, and they can. They might. Every pitcher has a tell. If they're going to throw a curveball, they're going to do something a little bit different. But you can't videotape them. You can't. Like, there's rules within the rules.
Okay, let's talk about the rules. Yeah. Okay, so one of the things in your book, because it is about the 1900 game of Reds versus Phillies, where they dug.
Was at that game.
Yeah, you're at it. Yeah, I thought you were. but they dug up a box and there was a buzzer, like, and they had a telescope in the outfield. Like, what? I mean,
I don't remember that specific thing, because God knows what I wrote in all these books all these years ago.
But a little bit, yeah. But that's
it's probably all just made it up, as you know. But there's the famous one was the shot heard around the world, where Ralph Branca, they had in New York, they had a buzzer it was at the third, where the third base coach stands, and they had it wired from the outfield, and there was basically
that's this one here.
So it went to the guy, the guy on the third baseline, the coach for the team, and when their guy was up to bat, it was the home field. And they had a guy they had these big old elaborate scoreboards back in the day. And there's a guy in there hiding with a World War II telescope.
Yeah.
And he would see what the catcher signs were. And then there's a buzzer wire that was dug in the ground onto the warning track in center field and buried and all the way over to the third baseline.
Oh.
And he would buzz him. So if it was two buzzes, it was a fastball. If it was one buzz, it was an off-speed pitch. Mm-hmm. And then basically he would relay that to the batter, saying, "Okay, Tracy," or "Okay, Brownie," or whatever. And if a player knows basically those two things, if it's a fastball, it's going to come real fast. You stay way back in your stance. You know, you play softball, and then you can swing away. If it's a curveball, you got to wait for it. But you can't guess, because it comes so fast. So basically, they knew. So one of the most famous home runs, the Giants win the pennant, came off of cheating. And those two later acknowledged it, that they admitted it. And, you know, it's like guys admitting steroids today. It's a different era, like the juiced ball era. They call these the dead ball era, the corked bat era, and so it's sort of like baseball is kind of at these eras. But back then, that was like a thing, and people did it. And it was, once it came out, I mean, those guys would do autograph showings together, and Bobby Thompson and Ralph Branca. So you can Google it. It's a very famous story.
Well, okay. So, because what you called it was the golden age of espionage, right?
And yeah.
So, like, between mirrors and secret signs on the scoreboard, and I mean, what else were these guys doing? And was it?
They might have a guy in the crowd with a newspaper, and they might hold it up one way or not have a newspaper. And there were signals everywhere. Uh-huh. Yeah, and still today, a lot of this. As a member of the media, I'm in the press box. It's at games, not as much as I used to be, but you can see advanced scouts doing these things. I mean, same as in football. They've got signs, and they've got guys with different color wristbands, and they call in a play to a play. And now the quarterbacks have a headset, so they can hear you for 20 seconds to avoid that, because this is what basically Spygate was. It was about sign stealing. They got caught videotaping the signs to study them. But basically all the sports have these sort of sneaky, you have your on codes and we're going to try and steal them. And if you do it the right way, like for instance, Paul Molitor wrote the foreword for the book, and I've gotten to know Paul over the years. He's from Minnesota where I live. And he was one of these, he was a savant. He could study, he'd go out in the pregame and he would watch the pitcher, and he could figure it out. And then he would be able to tell his teammates in a coded way, but that was considered respectful. Like if you study it and figure it out, that's okay. Uh-huh. But if you cheat and use a telescope or video, or then that's crossing a line. Uh-huh. Right. So, but it's like, where's your line? Well, it's like, well, they do it, so we're going to do it. Right. Well, who's right.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay. So then let's talk about more modern like things. And I'm sure that this is in all sports, right? Cause I know in NFL they do lip reading, right? That's why the guys always
they cover their mouth.
Yeah, they cover their mouth.
I interviewed a former CIA spook who made a gigantic six-figure salary allegedly off the record for one of the teams he worked as a Latino lip reader. Because when you guys come to the mound, a catcher and a pitcher, and they come and they're going to talk, and they're speaking, and you can read their lips. And let's say you got a four-game series. Let's say my Twins are coming to Colorado to play your Rockies, and all of a sudden, I know maybe it's mid-season, team's not playing that well. They're not going to change up their signs as they should because they're getting lazy. You know, it's the doldrums, the dog days of summer. They're going to just set this, hey, for this series, a one is a fastball, two is a curve, three is a change, four is a slider, five is going to, you know, pitch out, whatever. And then if I do this, if I tug on my ear, it's going to be a hit and run. If I tug on this ear, it's a suicide squeeze. If I do this, it's going to be there's all these signals. Uh-huh. Well, if I can figure some of those things out in game one of a four-game series, that's inside information. That's valuable information.
Yeah.
So they want these guys to know what's going on, and they'll be able to relay it. So it's really a thing because there's a lot of money on the line. And now with gambling and betting, bring it to 2023, it's going to be way more prevalent because it's not about, you know, getting a kicker to miss a kick it's not about winning a game by 1 point. It's about maybe missing a field goal late in the game to cover the spread. We're not going to lose by 12. We need to lose by 13. And that means I'm going to make $1 million. Now you get a kicker who will say, yeah, for 100 grand, I'll miss a kick. No one's going to know. You know what I mean? You can, with one guy, just, you know, so there's a lot of ways now with gambling. It used to be the NFL had, they would hire FBI guys to follow them around. And when I wrote in the football code, there's a whole chapter in kickers and punters. They would put balls in like crock pots and they'd put them in microwave ovens. Yeah. And then eventually they had these things called K balls where they would write a big K on the kicker ball. Uh-huh. Like the ball Tom Brady uses is a different ball than the kicker uses.
Yeah.
They lube them up with Mississippi mud and they get them soft and they want to bend it so that they're more alignable with the way they kick, right? Because they're just real, like you know, if you had a certain way that you want to ride your bike, or your seat was a certain way, or your wheels were a certain way for a certain, they gotta be perfect for that environment, that terrain, that road situation. So then eventually they started traveling, kickers would get the balls and they would do stuff to them. And they could, you know, like in Denver, if I can doctor the ball with that altitude, that might go an extra 2 yards, right? Well, that might be the difference in a field goal and not a field goal winning the game. So they would have these FBI guys travel with the balls in a locked case, and they would keep them on the sideline and only let them have them when it was time for them to have them. And it's just, there's so much stuff where and then they would make sure that no one got involved in gambling because they didn't want the FBI or these mobsters to get a hold of athletes, because if they could corrupt them to throw a game like the old, you know, like the movie Field of Dreams is based on a game that the old Black Sox, the Chicago, that they threw the World Series. A bunch of guys got together and said, we can make a bunch of money if we just agree to lose. So there's this stuff going on now that really makes all of this stuff really, really interesting.
Okay. So do you think that these gambling apps, how are they going to be able to track who's gambling on what? And like the mob,
it's so convoluted now. You're going to need to get a kicker on the record saying that, you know, but it's going, I guarantee you it's already going on. I mean, being inside as much as I am, I've heard stories allegedly about, you know what I mean? And it's not, you can bet on anything. So it's not like the Super Bowl. I mean, you're talking about just some, you know, Division I low level basketball game where maybe they, a guy misses a shot at the buzzer. So again, they instead of losing by 11, they lose by 12.
Cover the spread.
That's fine because you can bet on that. There's so many things you can bet on now that this is where this is going to become a really big problem.
Okay, so let's talk about like more modern stuff, right? Like bugging clubhouses, what they're doing with TV, like even cell phones. Like, what do you know about that?
Drones. I mean, so let's go back to the football code with Spygate. Spygate was basically, it was Bill Belichick and his staff got busted for videotaping other teams' signals.
That's right.
Well, I wrote this the book and I interviewed a lot of coaches that bragged about it. Like they would have, I mean, back in the day before drones and video, they would have guys at, you know, you'd come into a city, you'd practice at some college field the day before. They'd have guys like climbing trees, or maybe there was a dormitory they could look out down and they would study what they were going to do. And the other team knew it. So they might practice some plays where they would think that they go, oh, these guys are going to, and then they would have a team meeting at their hotel. And they would literally leave a dummy playbook behind. Like where's your playbook? Like you have to have it with you. Well, these guys would literally, because of course this is before iPads where you can have all this stuff electronically. They would literally print a dummy playbook and leave it on purpose so that they would find it and then go back and go, we got their playbook. But it was all misinformation.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Two things. One is I grew up, like Drew Pearson lived on my street growing up.
Pearson pushed off.
Now, wait, oh, you think so?
1975 NFC divisional playoff game, my Minnesota Vikings. It was the Hail Mary, and a lot of people don't know this, Tracy, but Fran Tarkenton, my childhood hero, the quarterback of my Vikings, his father is watching the game. He dropped dead of a heart attack, and his name was Dallas. That's a true story. So Drew Pearson allegedly kind of was involved with killing Fran Tarkenton's father, allegedly. I'm just saying, okay? So I was 6 years old, but I'm not over it. Clearly,
I know you're not over it. Well, okay. I know the Vikings are a touch point for you because we watched that game. We were in this mastermind group together, in Dallas at this thing, and me and you were like watching the game on your phone.
Your Broncos and my Vikings and the Buffalo Bills were all right there. We all had four losses, the most. Well, we were all equally horrible, and then you got Peyton Manning and won two of them. So now it's just us and Buffalo with four losses. So I'm rooting for Buffalo to get to the Super Bowl and lose so that we're not the most pathetic team anymore. That's how sad I am, okay?
Here's how it is that the Broncos are fine. Like, I watch the Broncos because it's easy to see in Denver. I'm a Cowboys girl because I grew up in Dallas. Okay. And it's just year after year a disappointment. Personnel.
Okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about the Herschel Walker trade? I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about how you stole my Minnesota North Stars? I mean, where do you want this conversation to go, Tracy?
I don't know.
I mean, do you want to come over and kick my dog? What else you want to do?
See, this is why I drank the coffee this morning. Anyway, okay. So back to cheating before Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, they practiced in our, like literally down the street from our house, which is why Drew Pearson lived there. And there was a hotel right over the practice field, which was this crummy, nasty, you've probably been by it. It's a KFC now. It's not even a football field anymore, but the coaches would get, the other team would be on top of that office building right there and watch everything. So that's super interesting.
Well, and so what Spygate was he got caught. And, you know, as a speaker, you know, you and I, we keynote these conferences. When I talk as a speaker, I kind of tie these nefarious things back to business, right? Like about cheating and what's acceptable.
Yeah.
So they all kind of did it, right? Even modern, they have drones and they were always sneaking around. But the thing with Belichick was the Patriots had won six Super Bowls, okay? And that's what I equate back to some of the hubris of big banks, which is what your wheelhouse, right? Working with financial services. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden you go, we're the best, right? Screw you. Other teams go, you know what? No, we're going to come after you. And that's what happened basically, is that, you know, it's not like if my Vikings got caught stealing stuff, anyone would care. It's not like we're going to go beat anyone, right? But when you win six Super Bowls and you kind of, rub your nose in it, yeah. rub their nose, right? And you kind of say, we're the Patriots. And it's a salary cap era where everything is supposed to be the same. It's like NASCAR. Everyone's the same, right? So the way you get better is, well, NASCAR, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. If you can adjust the restrictor plate and get a little bit more oxygen flow, you might get a half a mile per hour. And over a lap, that might be this much, and that's a win. Well, yeah. in football, if you know signs, that might mean you're doing a cover three versus a cover sure. versus a nickel package versus this or whatever, and you might win a game in the last second, and that matters. Uh-huh. So the Patriots, Spygate, they got busted, and they lost a first round pick. It was about a $30 million value, but they came right back. I mean, that's mm-hmm. so. And then Deflategate was another that was Tom Brady adjusting the PSI of the ball.
Yeah,
that was
okay. Just so him. Let's talk about Deflategate, because Tom Brady is a bad liar. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a body language expert, and he's kind of my like end cap thing, because everybody has everybody has an opinion about, like, the audience is split when I get to speak. That's what I say. When I speak in New
England, when I talk about Tom Brady, I say, go ahead, you can boo, you can cheer, get out of your system, because that's how it is.
Yeah, yeah. So, but here's the deal, is that one of the Denver Broncos coaches was in one of my talks here, and he pulled me aside when I was done. He's like, here's the deal. He goes, for years and years and years in the NFL, kickers have been putting air in the ball. Quarterbacks have been taking air out. And to both of your points, the Colts got tired of Tom Brady and that whole attitude. $20 million later in lawyer fees.
Yeah,
and we had Deflategate, and Tom Brady, he lied and lied and lied, and he's in, like, and all of a sudden his phone got ran over by his car. It's like, Tom Brady, you're not very smart, because your phone records aren't on your phone, dumb. They're at the computer.
As you like to say, liar, liar, pants on fire, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what my audience says. And people will boo and all sorts of stuff.
But here's the sad thing, okay? And what did that do for Tom Brady?
He's in the news.
He came back and won more Super Bowls. Now he signed a $500 million television deal.
Yeah.
I'm a member of EO, Entrepreneurs Organization here in Minnesota. We just hired Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, who's in my baseball code book for cheating, for performance-enhancing drugs, right? Mm-hmm. And we just paid him an enormous six-figure sum to come speak at our conference. Uh-huh. So if you cheat now, you're, in some regards, you're rewarded. Look at Frank Abagnale. I'm sure you've spoken at many conferences with Frank, right?
Well, Frank Abagnale's also too good to come on my podcast, apparently. So anyway, he's got a movie I don't. What are you going to do?
I get it. If Leonardo DiCaprio plays you in a movie, you win. So
yeah, I don't end up on Tracy's podcast. No.
You're stuck with schlums like me, so I'm happy to be here.
Okay. So, which brings me to another thing. Let's talk about drug use in sports. Okay, because that has negatively impacted my income. It has negatively impacted my career, because races got stolen, right? And it's not just me. It's not just the men's field. It was in the women's field. But you're going to love this, because back in, was it 2000 or 19? Yeah, 2001. I got a call from Brian McNamee. You know that name? You know Brian?
Keep going.
Trainer for Roger Clemens and Chuck Knobloch.
Nobby played for the Minnesota Twins. I know where you're going.
Yeah. And so just as a vibe that I got from him, total snake, right? But that's when I was doing mental performance training for athletes, flew us down to Tampa for the Tampa Yankees to work with Chuck, who was a second baseman and could not throw the ball to first.
Had the yips.
Yeah, he did. And he hired us, paid us a bunch of money, refused to actually invest, like, emotionally in the protocols of excellence, and kept his problem, ended his career. But I was in that apartment that where Brian McNamee shot up Roger Clemens, and I should have looked around a little bit better, is what that comes to. So we got drug use in sports. It's not technically illegal in baseball anymore.
Let me go back a little bit. So, interestingly, so this, the book that I did called The Hockey Code, got turned into a movie with an Academy Award winning director, a guy named Alex Gibney. Okay. And Alex also did a movie called The Armstrong Lie about Lance.
Well, and
really, which is your world.
I raced with Lance, and okay.
So, what was interesting, though, and if you tie these two together, because you know way more about this than I do.
Yeah.
is the systemic cheating.
Yeah.
Okay. When you look at it, it wasn't just a guy who Googled, how do I take a couple cycles of, you know,
well, yeah,
whatever. This is like the bus in Lance Armstrong's bus had a refrigerator hidden in it so that they could keep blood for blood doping.
Yeah.
That's not one guy. That's systemic. That's a whole lot of people mm-hmm. that are cheating to help one person, one team win. So this is where you go. Like, is it, and the thing is, I spoke at a UWADA conference, the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Oh, you did.
And they basically said, in their opinion, I remember I was on a mm-hmm. panel with like Christine Brennan and some other really mm-hmm. important mm-hmm. people. And this one guy said, and I don't recall who it was, but he basically said in his opinion, mm-hmm. it would be physically impossible to win the Tour de France without doping. I mean, so it's like, it's so systemic in how it is. And when tie that to other sports, the mm-hmm. thing is what we learn the most from like Balco, I wrote a book with Barry Bonds years ago.
Oh yeah, with the
Bay Area Laboratory Company. They were the first guys to kind of put a light on when Barry Bonds was doping and broke the home run record, was about how basically they're about 10 years ahead of the testing.
Oh, exactly.
It's like what the Russians had mm-hmm. done with all their stuff of being banned from the Olympics. But basically, like, we're here with our testing. So right now, so the people getting busted for doping now are stuff that were basically like, oh yeah, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. we can finally test for it with the blood sample. Basically, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Oh yeah, it's cat and mouse. And it's always
cat and mouse.
Yeah.
So it's like they've left it. Like I remember when Sammy Sosa and mm-hmm. Mark McGwire were in the home run derby, mm-hmm. and it was after the strike. So baseball needed something to win the fans back, right?
That's why,
and all of a sudden
let Lance go.
It's always based on TV, or it's mm-hmm. all about money, right? It's all about money. So. And I remember like Mark, they're interviewing Mark McGwire in his locker in St. Louis, and he's got like a can of Creo behind him.
Oh.
And it's like, well, yeah, I take this. And it was like, what is that? And it was uh-huh. like, well, there's certain things that are now, like when you like Tom Brady, like he has like a team of dietitians and nutritionists that do nothing but manage supplements for what's legal, what's not legal, mm-hmm. so. And that's where you're seeing a lot of the like the Dominican kids who come in and they mm-hmm. they're getting busted because they don't have the resources to test for these things or to understand what's in a label. So it's really like you said, cat and mouse. Like, mm-hmm. but baseball kind of like, yeah, well, you know, that was the era. So now our A-Rod or mm-hmm. Roger Clemens are these guys going to get in the Hall of Fame? They're going to make them wait because baseball Hall of Fame is done by the writers. And uh-huh. these are old school guys. And they're like, nope, you're not going to be a first ballot guy.
Mm-hmm.
So well, that's the punishment. But they're still making millions in endorsements and other
totally.
Stuff.
Totally.
Well, and by the way, the guys who came out and admitted it, mm-hmm. the guys like Jason Giambi, who yeah. they said, hey, you took steroids. And he said, I'm sorry, I was injured. I didn't know any better. I apologize. You know what they said to those guys? They said, don't do it again. Play ball. Here's a multi-million dollar contract. But the guys who were like, no, I didn't do it. I didn't cheat. They're like, F you, you're done. We're not. And that was kind of how it went.
Well, in cycling, they just kind of slapped you on the wrist. And again, they said, okay, go. And that was it. And it wasn't until Lance's thing where they actually did some meaningful suspensions. I mean, I would have been on the line, start line with Jeannie Longo. You know, she's been busted three times. She hung her. And even when I was at the Olympic Training Center, the French team would come in and down in Colorado Springs, because we have reciprocal training yeah. agreements and stuff. And the women look like little boys, right? Which, like, yeah. it's not cool to have curves in cycling, right? Because this weight, you got to drag around. Okay, fine. But then they had these canisters of like powder and it was all written in French. And we know they'd all been busted, like Jeannie Longo, Maria Kanin's, like all of them. And we're across the way, you know, eating our breakfast. And we're like, what's in the powder? and all they would eat is oatmeal. Like they weren't even, I mean, we have 100-mile ride today and you're eating a thing of oatmeal and calling it good. Like how does that doesn't add up? Like it doesn't add yeah. up at all. Now, granted, with drug use, you can't just take your drugs, which if you need to take drugs, it's a lot of drugs. It's not a little bit. It is a lifestyle commitment to get. You right. can't just go down to the feed store
yeah.
and get yourself some steroids. Like it's customized, like to do it right, costs $60,000 to probably $100,000 a year. You can't not train. Like people think, oh, it's shit. No, you do all
it
that.
It allows you to train more harder. It's not like you take the drug and you become a superstar and you're going to win the batting title. It allows you to get through the injuries quicker. Mm-hmm. It allows you to manage inflammation. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to put in the work, you can get much quicker gains. Mm-hmm. But then you look back at I remember I did a piece one time on, I believe her name was Heidi Krieger, and this was an East German shot putter who, it was a woman who, literally became a man because of all of the veterinary grade anabolic steroids that the government had allegedly had been, forcing these people to take when they, mm-hmm. from the time they were young kids, they'd go to these academies and they would be identified as
East German,
your parents Russian. Are big and mm-hmm. were, and that was, and it was just heartbreaking, but that was essentially it's going on. It's happening. You as a world-class athlete, how demoralizing. Know that you're doing things the right way. You're playing by the rules mm-hmm. and you don't have a chance because your body, maybe for the first 50 miles, you're good. You're right there. But not it's me. The last 50 where they're going to be but you know what I mean though? It's right. It comes down to I study the peak performers in sports and mm-hmm. basically 90% of these people are about the same, right? But there's a few outliers. There's the Michael Jordans that are just mm-hmm. freaks. But basically it comes down to either will beat skill, how bad are you going to work, how much you're going to, mm-hmm. right? Or are you willing to take this step to become, and Lance got that free pass because it was he was a cancer survivor. Yeah. So he was taking drugs that weren't quite, you know what I mean? He still had the hero status because he'd overcome this, but then it went, once, and it was interesting. I live in Minnesota. Greg LeMond is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember speaking at one time with him. He's very, very opinionated about it.
Yeah. Those guys don't get along.
No.
Yeah.
But, look, in society, to kind of bring this all back to what you and I do, it's you talk about lying and, mm-hmm. and it's and you look at politics, it's fake news and it's yeah. it's we've gotten to the point where, are we celebrating people that cheat and lie? Are we what's cheating, what's gamesmanship? Mm-hmm. If you can go on, the Facebook algorithm and do this, or if you can, and it's this is a much bigger problem. You and I are just kind of just below the waterline on the iceberg going, mm-hmm. there's all this stuff down here. And the fact that what really gets me for the stuff you talk about and I talk about is a lot of people just say to me I don't watch the news. It's all bad news. Mm-hmm. I heard a great quote recently where Katie Couric said, news is no longer information, it's affirmation. And that really bothered me.
That's interesting.
Because I grew up in a household where the news was valued. I subscribed to the New York Times and mm-hmm. the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press, and I read the news, and I try and read all of them, so I'm informed. Mm-hmm. But it's now people I don't want to read the news. And then they get all their news from Facebook or Twitter or mm-hmm. or whether it's MSNBC or Fox News. It's all polarized, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing in the middle anymore. Everything is extreme. You're either AOC and Ilhan over here, or you're Trump and over here. And it's there's nothing normal anymore in the middle, regardless of whoever you vote for or whatever. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But it's just, and it's well, they're doing this, well, they're doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we've created an effed up society. And then that's just sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have. And so that's all we uncover here on the show. So then
we solve all the world's problems right here.
Well, I don't know if we solve any, but we'll tell you about them. So, okay. So, tell us more about your books and where people can get them, how they can get a hold of you. Because
I'm not here to hawk books. I'm here to help you and be. I honestly, I'm not. I mean, I'm a speaker like you, and I would just tell your listeners, if you want to hire an amazing speaker, then hire Tracy freaking Brown. She's awesome and she's amazing, and I'm one of your biggest fans. So I'm here to be your cheerleader, man.
Oh, well, I'm a Ross fan, so I'm going to say hire Ross. So just a fantastic keynote speaker. Hall of Fame, not a joke, really.
Oh, stop. Amazing. Stop.
One of my favorite people. So what else do people need to know about this cheating thing that they can apply in their lives? Like one last comment.
You know what? I think I kind of come at it from the lens of sports, where I brag about great people, great companies who do it the right way. And, we live in America where you're always going to get that second, third shot, right? Whatever you know, the Goldman Sachses of the worlds and the Lehman Brothers of the worlds and the WorldComs have come and gone, and there's always the next Sam Bankman-Fried, and there's always the next Elizabeth Holmes out there, along with Lance Armstrong and Bernie Madoff. And I talk about these people. I celebrate the really good ones, and I kind of throw the bad ones under the bus. But I think it comes down to you deciding. You know, for me, I talk about the champion's code. So I take the codes and about these unwritten rules, and I apply them to your life. How do you want to live your life? How do you want to treat your spouse? How do you want to do business? How do you build relationships? How do you, you know, are you an honest person? Is a handshake agreement good enough for you? Right. And it's so you can tell body language. You know, if a person's a jerk in the first few minutes, and I kind of can get that vibe too. There's, you know, you get that maternal instinct that if you want to do business, here. Right. Something's not quite right. And as you dive deeper and peel away the layers, you know, there's usually always something there. So no one's perfect, but I don't know. I just kind of challenge people and companies to kind of do good. And I'm a big believer in karma. And that's why I'm on with you, because you're just a good human. And I love helping my buddies, and you're my buddy. So that's how it goes in our world.
Oh, thanks. Great karma. I love it. Ross, thank you so much for coming on Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups. You're awesome.
Love you, girlfriend. I can't wait to see you in Orlando at our next big conference. And we are definitely going to hang and go have a beer. And we are not going for a 100-mile bike ride.
We will not. We will not.
Thanks for joining me. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it. I'll see you next time.